On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I have our island vibe going as we're drinking some tropical Oberon. We have a new brewery brewing out of the Motor Row space. We talk about Nick's trip to Oakenroy and his trip down south to Bourbon Country, Louisville. And we get into a whole bunch of news, all that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
I'm Nick White. What's up, Brad?
We got our island vibe going on.
Poor Miss Something Strong and Tall.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. we're drinking this tropical Oberon. It's basically their Oberon with guava and passion fruit. So, you know, all those who am I thinking? Ballast Points.
Oh shit. Yeah.
They're going
Sculpin's.
Yeah, Sculpin's is fruit.
Sculpin's Well, they closed the Chicago one, so let's come out with a Sculpin-inspired wheat ale here.
Yeah, no, Goose, you're going to throw lemonade into 312?
Yeah.
We got passion.
You're not going to have all the fun with your little flagship wheat. We're going to have a fruit version of our flagship wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
I like it a lot. It gets out of the way, too. It's just a little hint of that little guava passion fruit thing. Then it gets clean, like fun wheat beer after that.
It's like a pool beer, right? Like a beer you'd want to have sitting by in the beach, next to the beach or the water or the lake or a pool.
It's good. And it's pink. It's pink. It's got fucking sunset. You know, it's got palm trees. It inspired Brad and I to dress up in the Zoom and some silly Hawaiian shit. So not the Zoom, but the reel.
The IG reel.
The IG reel.
But yeah, we were drinking that beforehand. But for the show, we're drinking a new brewery beer from, who are these guys?
Man, they are called Dunier.
Dunier.
So it's a dual brewery concept, right? The clean beers are called Modern Dune. And then the wine beer hybrids would be under the flagship Dunier name.
Okay, yeah. We do have one of the hybrids here, which I think we'll drink on after show, post game, so that'll go up on YouTube.
Yeah, so we've seen this before, right? I mean, Hubbard's Cave.
These guys, but
The concept, yeah. The dual concept. 18th Street has the sour note. Those are literally different breweries. But you know,
Half Acre
with, I always forget the name of their sour program because there's a name, The Cove, I think,
yeah,
right?
The Cove, yeah.
Hubbard's Cave was told, Hubbard's Cave and Unani. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were Unani with the sours and the Belgians. And their distro told them they couldn't sell IPA, so they said, fuck you, we're going to start another company and call it Hubbard's Cave. So we've seen this concept before around town.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is a new brewery brewing out of Motor Row, formerly space known as Motor Row. It's a historical building, right?
Yeah. They updated it with, gold LEED certified environmental features, but they kept the facade, the original facade. So it's a landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never went to Motor Row. Nick's been a couple times.
Yeah, we used to take the, it was a stop on the brew bus for a while. We go Lagunitas, Motor Row, then Haymarket in the morning.
Yeah. It was nothing against the beer or anything there. I just never went. I don't think this makes me go now, but
It's weird because, you know, 18th Street, not 18th Street, but Moody Tongues, a couple blocks away from there.
Oh, okay.
It's weird to say because Reggie's is not too far from there, but it's still kind of a remote section of town,
right?
Which is super weird because it's just south of Soldier Field, but it's not a part of town. So it's not a part of town you would go to. Like if you're in Millennium Park, Are you chucking it down to South Loop?
No, maybe if Vice District was still there, you might Vice District this new Dunnan, or what do you say?
Dunier.
Dunier.
Because it's a name you've never heard before, yeah.
So maybe you would do that. But I randomly stumbled on this beer. I was at the liquor store Garfield's over there on Milwaukee and Wicker Park.
Yeah.
And I saw this Island.
Two of those, by the way. They're like fucking half a mile apart. So weird. Yeah, there's one next to Small Javol.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I had picked up this Tropical Oberon. And I was like, oh, we're going to get this Island theme going. And I saw this Island of the Sbarro. And I was like, maybe we do that beer instead.
Now, Island of Sbarro is the Sangria Hybrid Ale. That's 6%.
And the beer buyer, owner, manager there, whatever he is, he's talked to me a few times. So I've gone in there. He's like, do you know who these guys are? I'm like, I have no, never.
None. And so you didn't even know they were local.
I didn't know they were local. I was like, what is this? It just looked, like an Island beer that maybe we could have more fun with than the Oberon. And then he's like, hey, they got this hazy that's really good. It's one of the better ones I've had. And he's got this lager. I was like, well, I gotta go lager because it's the old man show.
I mean, you know, this is slowly turning into that. This is the Grumpy Old Man podcast. Now, they're calling this an invited concept DDH lager. So this is a double dry hop lager with Citra and Laurel hops. Laurel feels new to me. I don't know if I...
And then the double dry hop lager... I can't say that's something you come across that often, right?
That's true. Who's our guy that he's got a brewery in Memphis? Used to be a Rock Bottom, Warrenville, Davin.
Davin.
Yeah. What's his Tiny Bomb?
Well, that's one of the beers.
But that was it's a
Wiseacre.
Yeah. That's right. Now that's a hoppy pilsner, mm-hmm. And you know it had
hoppy pilsner. Sure, we got Mama's Little Pills.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's like the precursor to this because that was kind of those modern American fruitier hops in that pills, right? But this is full blown fucking hazy level hoppy aromatics in this one.
Yeah, it feels like a. If you weren't.
I forgot which cup I'm drinking out of.
I don't know. If you weren't behind the hazy train or they were like too much or too filling, this is those hazy feelings in a really light format.
Mm-hmm.
Like a summer format. I don't know. It's good.
We were. I like the dryness of it for mm-hmm. sure. The lager body makes it really dry on a finish. It takes what we had last week. We had a hazy session from Liquid Love.
Yeah.
It takes that to the extreme and goes even lighter.
Yeah, that beer was good too. I had the other one the other day.
Yeah. Like so, I'm kind of in on these. I'd rather see more of this than the milkshake seltzer format that I saw fucking phase through.
Or yeah, I don't want.
Because that's not beer at that point. It's out of the category altogether.
Yeah, I don't want that milkshake beer. I don't want this 15% chocolate brownie cream pie beer in the middle of the summer. And this beer, the can is pretty awesome. It looks like you just took a bunch of drugs and you know the picture's melting on you.
Oh, this is very Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or some shit, yeah. I dig this a lot. And then we're shifting the conversation. You know, into classic beer flavors. Mm-hmm. I'm down with that.
So that's fun. So we're going to keep sipping on this, probably gush on it a little more as we get into this episode. But I want to hear, we're drinking a new beer, new brewery, and Nick finally hit up one of these new breweries that we talked about on an episode a while ago, the ones we missed.
Yeah, man, much in the way that I forgot to mention about Dunier, that was a Ballast Point Chicago taproom manager and a Lagunitas taproom manager. That left those to go start something new in Motorola space. Oh, man, rest in peace, Motorola, by the way, because we had Frank on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a fun episode. But, yeah, shit, he's selling beer at McCormick Place. McCormick Place ain't open, right? He's selling that all the restaurants. All the restaurants shut down, and now it was a wrap. But that space got some new life. Oh, but I don't know the guy's name, but I was watching the Ork and Roy videos, and I think the main guy in every video, I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere. But I used to see him in Lagunitas all the time.
Okay.
He was like, you know, one of the main guys at Lagunitas at 11 a.m. when I was there. So I got a feeling it's his spot or he's running the social. But anyway, Oak and Roy, I hope I'm saying that right. It feels right. It's a brewery and kitchen in Humble Park. So I was actually on my way to the new Salamo tap room.
Okay.
But they were bumping. like wall to wall. So I'm like, yeah, fuck that.
Okay.
But I'm like, well, what do we do? And then like, oh, Oakenroy. I've never been.
Yeah, okay.
In Humboldt Park in a place called the Kimbark Art Center. So it's right off the six. It's right at the 606.
Oh, really?
In Kimball. Yeah, so a little further west. And then, there's a coffee shop. You know, it's like a full city block. And there's an art gallery, a coffee shop, and then there's this brewery kitchen. Yeah. Very minimalist, very lots of windows, lots of bright colors. Almost feels like it could just be, you know, just a cool little hippie, hip restaurant. Doesn't necessarily feel like a brewery, which honestly, you know, we talk about Chicago all the time and the depth of the types of breweries here.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of dig that it's kind of off kilter, right? I feel like all their beers are named after dogs when you go to their website. Right. So they all got some weird, wacky names. I think right. I tried a Baltic Porter. And then we tried I wrote it down. It was like a lager. It was a smoked, Keller beer.
No, those are some different styles. I feel like
Baltic
Porters are like a beer. It's like a beer that I want to like, but then I get it and I'm like,
yeah. Goose had one a while ago, and they debuted it at Hop Leaf.
Okay.
But it was like 6.5%. This was more like 4.2.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay. Because you forget.
It's almost like a mild?
Exactly. It's like an English mild, but in a lager version. You forget a Baltic Porter is a lager. Oh, yeah. But so it's got those English mild vibes, though, for sure. Okay. Yeah, it was super chill, man. They're making, you know, you can get hummus. You know, here I am, eating golden hummus, right? And, you know. Like little leaf, like little lettuce wrap, hummus. You know, I don't really eat that kind of shit.
What?
But it's like a very small menu. You can either get like some whitefish or you can get like a hummus plate, right? You know, it's like it's definitely not a, I see why they don't call it a tap room, because it doesn't really have a tap room vibe, even though they're making beer there and have food.
Okay.
So that's a brew pub.
It's like a snack place?
It's...
like hummus and whitefish.
Oh, eating hummus and whitefish. Yeah, it's like, kind of reminded me a little bit of like fine dining a little bit. Like if a fine dining crew kind of started a casual brew pub concept, right? It kind of felt like that, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. I had never really experienced anything like this before. It was actually kind of cool.
I have not ordered a hummus plate in like a really long time because it was like that. Every brew pub or every beer bar had a hummus plate, and they would charge you way too much for what it was. It was like, here's $15 for something that cost us $3.
Yeah.
And it's like, that wasn't very good. Why'd I get that? Like, you're trying to, I'm going to eat healthy getting that hummus plate.
This is a golden hummus here.
This is golden hummus.
Well, whatever that means. I don't know what that means.
You didn't go whitefish? I would have been tempted to know what that would look like. Or
I've never had golden hummus, man.
I guess what was it then?
Chickpea or some shit.
Well, yeah, that's all.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Golden chicks.
It was golden chicks, man.
Did you have any other beers?
I think those were the only two beers.
Yeah. How were they?
I was a huge fan of the dark lager.
Okay.
The Keller beer, there's a lot of smoke coming through for that really light body.
Okay.
You know, not as much smoke that was in that Maybach we had a couple weeks ago.
Thaw?
Yeah. But I thought it was fun.
Okay.
Like, and then it came in, they come in rocks glasses. It was, you know, kind of clear round rocks glass, which is different, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it was an interesting stop.
Would you go back over, you got Salamoth there, you got Middlebrow, you got Pilot Project, not far.
Yeah. I feel like if Pilot Project had a kitchen, it would feel a little bit like this place. Hmm. You know,
they have food, don't they?
They do. I thought they had like a coffee program.
They do have coffee.
So, you know, I think they had like snacks and all that, like coffee related snacks.
Yeah, like crumpets.
Did you say crumpets? I'm going to show you this hummus plate so you can see what I'm talking about here.
Okay. And then, you know, so are they not that far then from like Off Color and Pipeworks, really?
No. Nah, so when you're on that, when you're near Helm. So you're a block north of North Avenue, but then you're past Western.
Oh, that's not that. So because the 606 ends, and that's where kind of Off Color and Pipeworks is.
Right. So this was just, it's actually kind of in a neighborhood, right? Like Oakenroy. I feel weird saying
Oikenroy.
That. Oikenroy. Oikenroy is in a neighborhood.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The photos of the place look nice.
There's your hummus right there.
All right, it looks very yellowy, like a mustard hummus.
Yeah, it's like a golden hummus.
you threw up some nice pictures on Instagram, and yeah, this place looked cool. It looks like a fun vibe.
Unchartered inspiration is their tagline. And, you know, you saw like an older couple there, you know, and it just kind of felt like the kind of place where you could go and be at a brewery, but it's not your typical brewery. I don't know. I mean, that's not the best descriptor, but, you know, it just...
It's almost like a, what's that, the place out in the suburbs, the one I've gone to, it's like, feels like Colorado Brew Pub.
Twin Peaks?
No, not Twin Peaks, the one.
I just throw shit out there.
There's like a brewery aesthetic for Chicago in general, like wood or metal, and then you throw in other ones like Oikenroy or... Why can't I remember?
Out south, South Burbs?
No, it's the two. It's the X2 Brothers guy.
Well, where is it?
Mike and Oak.
Oh yeah, Ike and Oak.
Ike and Oak.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't feel like Chicago brew pub. It feels like Colorado Pacific Northwest brew pub. So it feels different and it feels like a fun vibe.
That's very true. Yeah. So I appreciated it for that. Mm-hmm. I knew if I had to go to, I went to Salamoth. I knew I was getting a $4 Lou.
Right.
And I knew I was hanging out in a place that, you know, they, I think something said it felt like a Wisconsin Den or something.
Wisconsin Den. Okay.
You know, like a little, you know, where you go get your fish fry in Wisconsin. Probably feels like Best. You ever been to Best Intentions on Armitage?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably feels like that. Okay. I love that place.
I'm sure that Salmo tap room is like, it's hopping.
Oh, dude.
Like, it's got to be like, they love the party and it's Logan Square Avondale now.
People love new. We're from like, a full block away, you can see there's no way you're going in this joint.
They're offering seltzers with city water.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Last two nights, I was drinking city water, and I was like, this is just what I want.
It just works.
The last few days, it was just like, I don't want to think about what I'm drinking. I want flavored water that has alcohol in it.
Hashtag party water. Like the Haymarket hashtag.
Yeah, that was just kind of... I really see the it's almost like a Baba Booch is talking about like kombucha or alcohol kombucha beers. It's kind of fits in that with seltzer. It's like, I don't really want a beer, or I only have some hazies in the fridge. I have these. I'll just drink these.
Modern beer is kind of like, I mean, we love exploring the flavors of beer, but you kind of want beer to connect you to other things. Mm-hmm. Right? You kind of want to feel like you're... Yeah, there's this thin line that's connecting me to something else. Right. Like, so that's like you're talking about with the city waters.
But if you're thirsty, you just want something to quench the thirst. The juice isn't going to quench that thirst, but some city water might.
That's a fair assessment. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you finally checked out that spot. And we.
I was hearing so much about it. Yeah. You know, It whispers of a pilot project type of space.
Okay.
It whispers of that. But it's in Humble Park, which, you know, shit, 5 years ago, no brewery would have been near Humble Park at all, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you said, at North and Western is the first Pipeworks location. But they weren't open to the public. And they were using that old retired dairy equipment for their brew system, right?
That's
like
right.
They were barely off the ground. So seeing Humble Park have like a proper fucking tap room is progress for the city. Cool. You know, the same way there's you know how the old city plan for Chicago said there needs to be a park within walking distance of every citizen. You know, so if we can get into the mindset of just like a cool brewery in every neighborhood,
well, that wasn't that
we'd be doing all right.
Wasn't that what it was? Or I feel like someone talked about like the history of beer or someone's basically you should be able to walk to a place to get fresh beer in every wherever you are, and you should have your local brew pub. It doesn't have to make beer that goes to every fucking state.
No.
It just makes beer for those like, I don't know, a couple thousand people in the neighborhood, and it's good enough.
It should be beer just for the people who see the street lamp that has your neighborhood on it, right?
Yeah.
You, the, whatever you call those signs.
Yeah.
It should be just for those.
And if you can make beer people. Just to supply that, you're good enough.
That's a win.
Yeah.
That's a win. You view it like, you know, you would a local, you know, bakery or a fucking.
I feel like that's what we talked about Peace last time. That's what Peace does well. Like they supply, they just make beer for that spot. And they did do it well. So
that's true. You could only get Peace if you were there or if you were at a fest.
Right.
They never canned it. They never guest drafted other locations. None of that shit.
Every once in a while, there'd be a guest.
You might see it somewhere.
If like Half Acre and Pipeworks, or not Pipeworks.
Oh, or Floyd's, Peace, right?
Or they did like a collaboration. You might see the tap handle there.
Yeah.
But you're not buying kegs and they're going on at Bangers and Lace or something like that.
So I dig that. I dig the neighborhood aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like, unless you live in Humble Park and you're going to the actual park. So I ride my bike to the park all the time.
Okay.
But, you know. Other than that, you wouldn't really go there for no cocktail bars necessarily. You wouldn't go there for anything like that. So
right.
Seeing that there was a good thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So you did that. Ooh. And then you went down south.
Man, slid through the Derby City, the gateway to the south.
Okay.
There's another nickname for it. I'm forgetting. Louisville, Kentucky.
That's the real name. There's no name for it. Or the official name.
Yeah. yeah, man. You know, ton of distilleries, you know, just fucking 40 minutes outside of Louisville. So.
And you drove down there, right?
Yeah, it's like fucking 4 hours, man. So you leave Chicago, next stop's Indianapolis. And after Indianapolis, about 90 minutes later, I didn't know this. Louisville sits like right on the border of Indiana. So as soon as you leave Indiana and you cross the Ohio River, boom, yeah. Now you're in Louisville.
Okay.
I didn't really understand that because I had, you know, geography, you know, I fucking suck at that.
So were you just on the bourbon hunt or did you hit up any breweries or anything like that?
No, I was down there for the neat pour, you know, on location, just trying to find out what's going on with actual breweries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, distilleries. But then there's no way I can go to this joint without hitting up brew pubs. So... first of all, you hit a ton of bourbon bars in Louisville.
Okay.
You just kind of hang out and drink everything from every distillery because distilleries are 40 minutes away. It's like wine country, right?
Yeah.
So you just sit at the bar and you just drink everyone's fucking whiskey.
I feel like with the neat pour, you have a better understanding of that stuff because last time I was in Louisville and I was like, I don't know. They have like flights. Places have flights.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll take this flight. I don't know what I'm... I have no, like, framework.
I have
no base.
So. No understanding. Yeah. And then a lot of these bars are pouring, like, I think employees... You know how it is. You work at Goose, you get a case of beer every month. You know, you work at the distillery, you get a case of booze every month.
What?
Yeah. So a lot of these, you know, old-timers have all this booze. So the state passed a law where bars can buy booze that was...
From a random dude?
They can act as a private collector and buy booze from random dudes and then sell it at their bar next to the shit they bought from the distro.
Oh, that's kind of nuts.
It's nice, right? So you're at a bar and it's like, oh, yeah, I know this dude who's got some shit from the 60s. So, boom, let's drink that. You know, it's those kind of things. It's very weird. So
you could be like a private collector but also be like a spot that you're like, here's Nick's whiskey. But he like gives me like... I don't know, like 10 bottles.
Right.
And then you could go back and sell those to the...
Yeah.
Right? You could.
It's bizarre. It's very bizarre. You can charge secondary prices for bottles at your fucking liquor store / bar. And then you can buy bottles from literally anyone and then sell them at your bar at any price you want. It's a different scene.
Okay. Yeah.
But breweries.
Yeah.
So I hit two breweries, man. I think... one was Gravely, which was, you know, it had a weird name to the neighborhood. But Gravely, it was like a music-themed kind of bar. Only reason, when we walked in, they had all the plaques on the wall. So they had a World Beer Cup silver medal for their Pilsner called Sprockets. And then when you get to the bar, they got a 7-minute Sprockets. So you can buy Sprockets, and then they do the slow pour. So I'm like, I will have that.
Slow pour? You got slow pour?
I got the slow pour. Yeah, he's like, well, you got to order it now. I was like, well, give me the regular, and then I'll take the slow pour.
7 minutes. That's a long time. Like, what? You know, why is Ravinia's slow pour so fast?
Yeah, I question. We still got some questions here. I don't know.
Is there now a time? Like,
the name of this brewery was in a funny. The name of the neighborhood this brewery was in was funny. Oh, so I went to Sprockets. I mean, no, Sprockets was Gravely. The was the pills. I went to Gravely. Oh, dude, fantastic space. It's a music themed joint, kind of like Microphone, or kind of like Eagle Park up in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
But you know, they were doing, you know, it was classic brew pub setup, but just big old. Audio equipment everywhere. That was their theme. So I really dug that. And then I went to a place called the Gallant Fox. So the Gallant Fox is right across the street from one of these bars that sell all the old dusty vintage bourbons.
Okay.
And they're the ones that says you got to go over there.
Okay.
So they got 200 pours of like some old shit at the Gallant Fox, but then they also have like, you know, 20 of their own beers. And then I'm in the bathroom and then I see the plaque that says the Gallant Fox was a thoroughbred racehorse that won the Triple Crown in 1930. So it was named after a winning. It was named after a horse. Because it's a Gallant Fox.
A good horse. It was like a bad horse.
It was named after a very good horse. It was named after a very good horse, man. But there was foxes everywhere, so I didn't understand the horse shit, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So those are the two spots I went to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you basically load up your car with a whole bunch of bourbon? Like, is your bar now stocked, your booze cart, everything just like full of dusty old bourbons?
A lot of them I tried there, and it took a lot of cool photos. I might have left with maybe like 5 choice bottles.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Very restrained approach to the, because, you know, shit gets out of hand quick.
$100+ every bottle, right?
I mean, you know, yeah. So, you know, you can't, you know. So we went with some quality bottles that we really wouldn't see back home. Or if I saw them back home, I'd have to go to Wheeling and meet some asshole in a parking lot in the middle of the day, right?
And ones that have a good story for the show.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. So, that was my favorite part, man. You know, like, in a weird kind of way, man. If you're drinking something, like I had a Jim Beam from 1958. It came in a bowling ball decanter, right, with like a gold plated top. But it's from 1958, so it's got some age on it. But it made the trip. It tastes like bourbon. You know, the corn was a little different back then, right? GMO corn wasn't heavy. So just big, rich sweetness, right? And we're talking about bourbon. Oh, but when you drink something that old, it just puts you in a different mind state, like 1958. Like, you know, who was alive back then? You know, my mom was young. My grandma was alive. You know?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you of, like, you know, drinking history is a very, like, kind of fun and then kind of weird, cool thing.
58 is a long time ago. Yeah. But so. 70 years, basically.
So you're drinking a 70-year-old bourbon.
65, right?
Yeah. So just the whole idea of that is exciting. It was kind of exciting to kind of just nerd out about that shit. So, whew.
Was that one of the older ones you've ever drank?
That was the oldest one.
The oldest one.
Okay. There was a distillery in Peoria, Illinois. I didn't know this. Like, called Hiram Walker. And it was the largest distillery in America at one point after Prohibition. I didn't know any of this. My buddy collects old Playboy magazines, and I saw the Hiram Walker ad in there. Yeah. He collects them for the ads, you know. And then I saw it in there, and that's when I heard the name. And then I tried something from 73 from them. And it was only an 8-year whiskey, but these guys were saying, like, you know, the process was different back then.
Yeah.
So the flavors are going to be different. So that all caught me off guard. It didn't make sense. In my head before I got there, drinking a 40-year-old whiskey made no sense to me. If I had a 40-year-old whiskey and it came in a cool decanter, you know, yeah. I would sell it.
Like, I was watching the show Umbrella Academy, and in one of the scenes, he ends up in a liquor store, and they're in... What year was JFK's shot? Was it
67?
63, sounds right. 63, or yeah. And there's all this, like, booze because he's, like, alcoholic and going on this, like,
bender. Or a collector or something.
No, he's a bender. He's going on a bender. And I was like...
My tiki cup has ass cheeks, by the way.
Yeah, this is the butt one. This is the butt.
Oh, yeah. I'm like... But I was like, my fingers in the ass.
That liquor in the 60s, it was either, like, really good... Yeah. Or it sucked a lot. Like, mm-hmm. Right? There's probably wasn't, like, an in-between of, like, we have, like, a good middle ground. Like, yeah, these are okay. They're new distilleries. The process is good. But it was probably a lot of stuff from overseas, from Europe. And then whatever was made in America probably kind of sucked.
Yeah. And older does not mean better. Right. You're absolutely right. And a big part of why it made, I say made the trip, like, hey, it showed up in 2021 and it was still good. It made the trip because they stored it properly. Yeah. No sunlight, cool temperature, right? Like, you, if you store it properly, it'll make the trip. And they would get, like, really nerdy and talk about, like, you know, and the, you know, as breweries got bigger and the commoditizing of whiskey got bigger, you know, the smaller breweries, the smaller distilleries would use, like, all fresh ingredients with every batch.
Yeah.
Fresh yeast, you know, fresh corn mash to start out, right? And then now they use a sour mash where they leave a little bit in there for consistency's sake. So the flavor's always the same.
Okay.
So you got the starter with every batch, right? But this is a different flavor, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, you have to, like, proof it down more to get rid of that sour mash flavor, right?
Okay.
But if you were doing it back then, the way whiskey started in this country, it was all fresh ingredients every single batch.
And every batch was different. I don't know. It's like, it almost makes you wonder, like, now everyone's super nerdy about everything whiskey, beer, anything. It's like, did people give a shit at that time? Were there, like, huge whiskey bourbon nerds in the 60s looking for that? Or were they just like, cool, keep it coming? I don't know. It's weird, like, idea.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Because, you know, the 70s, the shit took a people stopped drinking whiskey in the 70s and started drinking vodka. Whiskey was like your granddad's drink.
Right.
People drank vodka. Martinis were in vogue. So the whiskey folks started making, like, decanters and shit, you know. Let's make a tiki one. Let's make one that looks like a cow. Let's make all the
fun. We got to, like,
we need to do
people
something.
People want
to
have parties.
And then you can keep this art after you done drank the whiskey.
Yeah.
So it did, you know, it went out of vogue. It went out of vogue. And then it came back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I feel like that 70s, 80s, just for all alcohol, shitty. It was just bad.
Like, I wonder if anybody cared. I think they cared about the processes, but I think, like, nobody back then, they weren't saying, hey, we're going to make this Maker's Mark in 1982. And if you sit on it for 20 years, it's going to be amazing. No one was thinking that.
Right. It was all, like, profits and, like, get it out now, get people to have it.
But, you know, it's actually one of the most regulated products in the country. The first Consumer Act was for whiskey, you know, the Bottle and Bond Act, because they were throwing all kind of weird shit in whiskey in the late 1800s.
Okay.
Like, not poison, but, you know, turpentine and beets.
Right,
and all,
like,
kind of
just watering it down.
All kind of weird shit.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Woo.
Oh.
We went off the rails there, bud.
Yeah. All right. So those are some good stops. We do have a little bit of news before we get out of here. One, we were talking about Solemn Oath, and I saw an email come in, and they're like, order for delivery now, because July 1st, Chicago goes back to pre-COVID rules for delivery.
Really?
So COVID happened, and we're all going to go back to the same shit that we were doing beforehand, and breweries cannot deliver. I don't know what happened with the guild working with the state to have breweries delivered to consumers. I think that's all gone.
Man, I thought we had the beer, you know, B-E-E-R, the bill that was, you know, we got that letter from the guild saying, you know, talk about the beer act.
July 1st, it all goes back to breweries cannot deliver to consumers.
Man, I was kind of hoping it would, you know, be like wine. You know, you can get wine from crawl across the country.
Right.
I thought it was going to go towards that.
And I think that's just not great for all these breweries. I don't think now it was as much as needed, but people like Solemn Oath, I might order a case from them and have it delivered, especially if you're having a party or something like that. Like, I need a bunch of beer. Just deliver it to me. Kind of bummer.
That sucks, man.
So I hope the guild and this bill gets it all sorted out so we can kind of make this happen.
Yeah.
And then Skeleton Key.
Yeah, man. There was a tornado that whipped through the West Burbs. Skeleton Key had their equipment's intact, but their entire tap room was fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, like, the roof and all this shit kind of caved, ripped off. So.
And So are they done, or are they like rebuilding it?
Man, you know, they had a GoFundMe microphone. Somebody who works at Microphone set up a GoFundMe for Skeleton Key, and they almost took in like $100,000 in like 3 days.
Damn. Okay.
So, you know, so good for them, man. It sounds like they're on the road to recovery.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, we were talking to the Skeleton Key guy when we were at Oak Park. You know, he had a really cool Skeleton Key shirt on that kind of was reminiscent of like the Hams logo, and we were talking to him about that.
I don't remember.
And I got a buddy who's out in, like, Bolingbrook, it's masseuse. And she's always talking about how they do a lot of hip-hop shows at Skeleton Key and how we need to come out there. And I'm like, you know, you're in Bolingbrook. That shit's in Woodridge. These parties are 11 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Sure.
So I've never been to Skeleton Key.
I've only had them at festivals. It's one of those places I know exists, but I just haven't made it to.
Same. So it was cool to see, everybody rallied around them, got them some cash. And and then they're brewing at Miskatonic now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a ton of places, you know, like even Alarmist got involved. They're all selling kegs of Skeleton Key product now. And I'm pretty sure that stuff wasn't on their schedule to sell.
Right.
But they're kind of doing it as their way of helping out.
Right. I think Alarmist, if you were buying the beer, all the money went back to Skeleton. Like nothing went to Alarmist. So
yeah.
$5 pour or whatever. It was like, this is all going to them. We get nothing. We had nothing for this. So.
You talk to some brewers and, you know, and they'll tell you, hey, you know, the days of the kumbaya, rising tide floats, you know, lifts all ships, all that brotherhood shit is kind of out the window, right? And they're competitors, right? Like, they're gunning for tap handles, right? It's not just, you know, the big boys like Dogfish or Sam Adams. You know, it's like Off Color versus Rev.
Yeah.
For fucking handles at bars. So to see that pre-COVID, that scenario, and then to see this where, you know, there is some elements of, you know, a kind of a neighborly, brotherly thing going on there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great to see.
So
glad everyone's helping them out. Support them if you can, or hopefully they get back on their feet, get the tap room rebuilt.
A fucking tornado ran through their tap room. I would lose my shit. You know, there was a tornado in Rogers Park about a year ago.
Right. I remember someone posted in our, like, community or Motion Graphics Chicago. They're like, everyone stay safe out there. And I was like, I don't know. It's, like, stormy. And I don't know. What, did you lose power? Like, I didn't even know there was a tornado until the next day because nothing often happens in Chicago.
Right? No, it's the flatlands. There's no hurricanes. There's no tornadoes.
Right, and there's not enough space for, like, tornadoes to usually touch down.
Shalonda was saying she was in her living room in Rogers Park, and it was coming down the street from the west going into the river. And there's videos out there of people who have, you know, lakefront houses.
Yeah.
And they're saying, babe, come check out the tornado. And then it's so heavy. They're like, oh, shit, and they go in because you can see this thing over the lake.
Right. The lake is the only place it's going to be able to touch down. Like, in the middle of Logan Square, it's not
touching down.
Not touching down.
It's just going to. Yeah. But apparently in Chicago or in the burbs, you annually might see a fucking tornado rolling down the street.
Growing up, like, Plainfield, tornadoes would go through all the time. I grew up in Warrenville, and they'd be like, oh, a tornado went through Plainfield. And I was like, hey.
That's a fact. The very first Plainfield beer fest was a fundraiser for the fucking
tornado. It was, like, underwater, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was along the Plainfield River, and it was a fundraiser for that. Yeah. Okay. So I forget what it was called.
I forget. I remember you talking. One. We talked about it on the show.
It's
you're
a
like,
big
this
party.
Was a disaster.
I think it was the Midwest Brewers Fest.
It was underwater, and they didn't. People were parking their cars in water, and they weren't like providing any way to like get you to the fest. People were just like soaked.
Yeah. So.
Like,
tornadoes
yeah.
in tornadoes in Chicagoland. It is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, crazy.
So.
Anything else? Any other news happening?
Shout out to Lake Effect Brewing Company. They got the green light for their new Firehouse location.
Nice.
And now they're partnering with North Branch Fried Chicken, which is a Northwest Side eatery. So they're going to be residents. Sounds like they're going to be residents there.
Right. And there's another brewery in Jefferson Park, too.
Really?
I was visiting friends up there, and they mentioned one that, like, just opened. And so there's now going to be two breweries in Jefferson Park.
Huh.
I forget the name of it. I saw it pop up on the Chicago brew feed and Facebook or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So two breweries in Jefferson Park now.
It'd be funny if the name of this group actually was Chicago Brewery Beer Feed or whatever. That'd be funny. It'd be funny if I go to Facebook and see it and that's the full name of the group. I'd be like, that's definitely the one, Bravo.
I never went to Lake Effect before. I do want to see what happens with this Jefferson Park spot. And that I have friends that now, they bought a house not too far from where the brewery is. So I feel like I have a better chance of going there.
Yeah, Jeff Park's one of those hoods where you get a lot of house. Like, you have suburban-sized lots.
Right.
So, shit, Smoke is up there. Fucking.
Smoke's? That's not at Jefferson Park.
That is Jefferson Park. Oh, that's Avondale.
Yeah.
It's on the border. You're right.
Jefferson Park's like
it's Avondale.
The in between the highways where 90 and 94 split.
You're right. And this is south of Irving Park Road. So you're right. It's Avondale. But.
Cool. Good for Clint.
Yeah, man. Clint. Another former guest on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So we're gonna be off for a week from just the podcast. Just gonna touch this butt some more. We're gonna be off for a week on the podcast. I'm gonna go over to Portland, where it's apparently 110 degrees tomorrow.
In Rip City, 110.
Yeah,
that's too hot, man.
That's too hot.
That's too fucking hot.
Portland, they don't even have. Most people don't have AC.
You still going?
Well,
it's hot as hell up there.
Hopefully, when I get there, I'm not going tomorrow.
Okay.
But hopefully, when I get there, it's only like 90.
That's decent. You can handle that. 90, you can handle.
Yeah. All right. But we'll be in a hotel, so we'll have AC.
So we really don't care.
We don't care about those other people. But we'll be off for a week.
Man, no show next week, man.
No show next week.
All right.
We'll kick this out, and then we'll be back after that. Talk about some Portland adventures. I'm sure I hit up some breweries. I'm wearing a Breakside hat. You know, they won those.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They won gold. They won IPA awards at GABF a couple times.
They were best in show 1 year on the IPA side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll hit up a bunch of new spots, a lot of places to visit, cideries.
Dude, I love Portland. I there's very few places where I got sad when it was time to come home. And my very first time to Portland, I just left so much on the meat on the bone. I was like, man, I gotta come back to this fucker. This is a cool town.
But I feel like I may, like, we'll probably hang out with my family a bunch. We may just get beer to go a lot because I can't go around all these places. It gets like.
Gets weird.
You could go to all these places like 10 years ago and bounce around and feel pretty good. I don't know. Now I'm driving all around. I feel a little slower.
Man.
I can't hang.
Yeah. I was out of town and I was like, what were we doing today? I was like, I have this one thing in the morning and this one thing at night.
Yeah.
We got to slow the fuck down here. You know, I don't, like you said.
So we may get more beer to go rather than like, we're going to drink this flight of 12 beers and see what happens.
Right. I hear that.
So we may do that and like hang out a little bit and just relax. This is the first vacation like for you probably too since the pandemic started and just getting away from your computer.
Just
and,
go away.
And the place where you live and work.
Exactly. Get to Pock Pock, man. You want a Pock Pock?
They shut down.
Come on.
COVID. Really? Yeah. COVID. Oh. COVID. Boom. Oh. Ended Pock Pock. Oh. Pock Pock's done.
Man.
No more Pock. But brother-in-law, he would not be a brother-in-law, but he's sort of. He knows how to make the Pock Pock wings. Like he's got the book. He can make them.
Okay. Huh. Okay, so we're back on track.
I could have them if he wants to make them.
Just take him some Malort. You know.
Take him some. Oh yeah, you picked up the anti-hero. Oh yeah,
anti-hero Malort.
Yeah,
I haven't had it yet.
No,
okay. No, I left it. I bought it and then we left.
Did you buy it from the brewery or did you buy it?
No, you got to get it from Benny's. It's $20.
So that's pretty good price.
I honestly got it for the artwork. Yeah. You know, because I got the Jameson one. You know, the Jameson Revolution one. The artwork looks cool. There's four different artworks to pick from, which was nice. You know, you got anti-hero in a leather jacket smoking a cigarette. I picked anti-hero on a flame-throwing bird. I got that one.
Not a dragon, a bird.
I mean, it probably is a dragon. Now that we're saying it out loud, I'm pretty sure it's a dragon. But yeah, you go to the store. You got four different ones to pick from. So
I gotta pick one up. I don't want to. I want to try it. I don't want to try it.
I'm just going
to
look at
it. And I want the bottle to be on the shelf.
You know what? We'll bring it. Okay. And it'll just hang out, you know.
So you got the dragon one.
I got the dragon one. So if you get another one, now we got two.
Yeah.
Now we look like Dree Champs, where we got just a bunch of shit on the table. Like artwork. It'll just be artwork on the table.
I guess, but we're gonna be out of this space soon. We're gonna need a new home. All of our beer chaskis.
I pack all this shit up, man. Oh, man.
All right. So that's going to do it then, right?
I think so, man.
Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Chicago Beer Pass. And we'll be back, not next week, but we'll be back soon with another episode. Check out our reels, beer reviews. We're going to drink this hybrid. Is it hybrid? Just sangria hybrid ale on YouTube. So check that out. Take care.
Cheers.